Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
So today we're talking about strength, and this word comes up a lot in grief and loss when people say, you know, oh, you're so strong. And it came up for me personally when I was grieving my daughter right after she died. And one of the things that a couple people told me is like, well, just be strong for your husband and in her memory, or just be strong. And it was so frustrating because when you hear that word, it's like, what does that even mean? So it's been 10 years since that experience. I'm still kind of been thinking about and grappling with this idea of strength and what that means. And most recently, watching the debate, the word came up in my mind again. You know, what is strength? And what are we talking about when we use it so colloquially and we use it so frequently in various life circumstances, whether you're battling disease or dealing with a hardship or really, you know, achieving the success that you always wanted. You know, those are things where people might look to a certain individual and say, wow, they're so strong, without knowing what's going on internally. But even beyond that, what does strong mean? So I looked this up just briefly right before we got together here today to kind of see, you know, this question, what does it mean to be a strong person? And I just put that into the search bar and it says about 5 million search results. But one thing that stood out is the first kind of paragraph that is at the top of my computer screen from this search. And it says, being strong means having the resources, the mental skills, and the physical capabilities to confront difficulties of all kinds. What I like about this is when it talks about, you know, having the resources, I hope that that means beyond the individual, and it helps people recognize that they're not alone and can utilize resources. However, some people I think take strength as resources to mean wealth or other areas of resources. So that's something maybe we can kind of interrogate later on in our conversation too. And then it also said, you know, the mental skills and physical capabilities to confront difficulties. So strength, we have the inner capabilities, which are not only our mental capabilities, like it says, but I think it also includes our personality strengths. So the inner pieces, and then we have the physical that are, you know, talked about. And, you know, sometimes that's just, you know, the DNA that we're born with in some ways too, right? The typical way somebody's body can build muscle mass versus, you know, somebody else or that type of thing. And then the other thing that comes up for me with this too is the idea that we all have strengths with a plural. So strengths that we develop, and we develop those because they're partially innate to who we are and partially because we enjoy doing them and partially we're just have a knack for them. We're typically good at them. So being strong embodies all of these things. And I just wanted to kind of lay it out there because it's been really something that's, you know, been on my mind for a long time now. So what is strength? So going back to that, you know, root question, LaShawn, what would you like to add about strength as we begin framing the conversation?
Well, first I want to say thank you for setting that up so beautifully with the definition and explaining your own personal experience with strength and people using that as maybe a well-intended way of giving you encouragement, but also it had the kind of opposite effect is when you're like, what is that? And you're really frustrated and really wanting to know what that is. What does it mean? And I think it's so important to examine terms that we use, especially ones that we use frequently and in different contexts. Because what does it really mean to be strong? So as you were talking, I was thinking about the internal strengths and mental toughness. I was thinking about muscles while you were talking about being strong and strength. So I thought a lot about what that would look like when we're talking about strength and being strong. And one thing that came up when you were saying that people were telling you to be strong for your husband, I was thinking that is almost like stoicism, not showing emotion. I would say suppressing that. I think there's some like suppression there as well. Like when you say be strong for someone, or that person's so strong. Often when we say that person is so strong, we are looking at someone who doesn't seem to be bothered or affected or broken down, I guess, from something that's going on that we might comparatively not be able to handle as well. So that's one thing that comes to mind when I think of that. And I was also thinking about the different ways that strength shows up for women and men, feminine strength, masculine strength. How are those different? What does it mean to be a strong woman? You hear that strong, independent woman. What does that look like? What does that mean? And then the definition that you shared is great because I got to get an idea of, what that would look like for a woman, like, having the resources and then a man as well, just like the kind of societal ideas that we have of men and women and gender roles, which are shifting and changing and being challenged currently. So a lot of things come up for me when I think of strength, when I think of being strong. And I think that it can show up in many different ways depending on the situation. And there's also physical strength. I think about the difference between an oak and bamboo. So a mighty oak seems very strong, like you can hold on to it, you can climb it, you can build a house on top of it. But when there's strong winds, that mighty oak is going to break. Whereas a bamboo is a grass, and you can't climb it, you can't hang on to it. But when there's wind, it bends and it's flexible. There's two different types of strength there that I think of. The strength that can hold a certain amount of weight, and then there's the strength that's flexible. So those are the things that are coming up for me. Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I like this strength imagery that you between the oak and the bamboo, because I think it also helps paint a picture that I think overwhelmingly in just American culture, that oak is viewed as potentially stronger because of its size, as it doesn't bend. Whereas the bamboo, when you bend, you're adapting, right? And you're making changes and you're responding and you're grappling with some of those difficult questions that oftentimes people who show external strength are saying they don't grapple with. They just know, right? They are very confident in themselves and just know. That's what I think of sometimes when it comes down to both like the cultural level and then the personal level. And I tend to align a little bit more with the bamboo strength in my own personality, but also just in how we can be in the world, because by, embodying that flexibility and that adaptability, like we're likely going to create more things that make an impact, a positive impact, and respond to one another with that flexibility and kindness and compassion. And so when I highlight that sometimes these principles of how we think about strength could be looked at a little bit differently. You don't always have to power through something, right? Or you need to know when it's time to throw in the towel or certain things like that, right? So that comes up for me as well here. And then just this idea of, survival of the fittest and how that actually is survival of the most adaptable. That's really what he was talking about there with this theory. It also makes me think adaptability might just be the strongest way of being when it comes to, how humans evolve. I wasn't really aware of my strengths until I started working at the university, where we were helping students and helping staff and faculty and ourselves better understand our own strengths and how to show up. And I think that and how we can foster those as well. And I think that piece is so important here, because if we all have the same strength, right, that wouldn't create a very exciting, a very good experience for us as humans. So that also comes up, and then it ties back to that grief piece. So you're telling me to be strong. Does that mean I need to root into one of my strengths that I have already and try to, use that as a way to really examine and deal with my grief? Or what does that mean, right? So that's where I kind of come back to where I started from in the conversation. We don't have a good working definition of strength, and yet we often just throw the word around all the time. Oh, that person's so strong, or oh, they gave a strong debate performance, or oh, they were strong as they dealt with their loss, you know, those things. But it's like, what are we talking about here? And what are we really valuing when we talk about being strong?
Those are all really good points. And when you were talking about when someone tells you be strong, it's so vague and maybe not helpful to tell someone be strong because there are so many differing definitions of strength. The person who's telling you to be strong might have a different idea of what that looks like. And you have a different idea of what that looks like. And you may not even know what that looks like. As you were asking, does that mean I need to root into my strengths? So I think in that instance, it would be a good idea to just interpret that encouraging word as what that looks like for you. So for example, rooting into your strengths as you were learning in university. The other thing that is really important to think about as well is when it comes to, for example, you're in a community or you're in a group, you're a team, or you're working with others, it might be a good idea to come up with your own definition as a group. What does it mean to be strong? What does it mean to be a strong team? And come up with those definitions because if everybody has this idea of strength, like for example, a strong team is a team that never gives up, or a team that takes no prisoners, or a team that's like really cutthroat. I'm like thinking in like the working world or even at athletics. A strong team is as strong as its quarterback, or as strong as its point guard, or as strong as its not a sports person. So that's the extent of my analogy there. It's important to bring that out and say, okay, so what do we mean when we say we're a strong family? What does that mean? And how is that showing up for us as a family? And of course, we're not going to use those coaching terms that I just used. What we could talk about is, hey, when I tell you, child of mine, that we're a strong family, is your interpretation of that we don't show emotion? Or is your interpretation of that we stick together? Like, what is your interpretation of that? What does that mean to you? And then coming to like a common ground, because strength seems to be a value societally. Nobody's saying, oh, that person is strong and it's an insult, right? I don't know of any situation in which that term would be used as an insult. There might be, I'm not saying there isn't, but I can't think of it. So we know it's a value. So then we need to examine what are we valuing about strength, or where is it showing up in our society? Like you said, the strong debate. Like what makes a strong debate? What does that mean? So those are things I think that we shouldn't take for granted. We shouldn't take for granted that strong is a good thing, but what do we mean when we say someone is strong? What do we mean when we say be strong? Because there's so many different ways of looking at that. So I think it's worth examining. So for me, strength has really evolved. The definition of strength has evolved in my lifetime from like looking at the women in my family and seeing them work when they're sick. They just get it done. They don't complain. They don't say anything about what they have to do. They just do it. It just gets done. And so as a young girl, I was looking at the women in my family and I was saying, well, strong woman is a woman who just gets it done. That it if I'm sick, I work. If I'm sad, I suck it up and I just move on. I don't cry. So that was my definition of strong. But now that I'm in my 40s and I'm a mother myself, my definition of strong is you run through the gamut of emotions, you express, you're transparent. So when I think of strong, a strong person is someone who can be vulnerable, someone who can express their emotions, who do not apologize for crying, who have moments and are able to say, hey, you know, I had a moment there. Could have been better, but I learned something. Or just acknowledging that you're human. To me, that's strong. To be able to be vulnerable, to admit that you're wrong. That's one of the things growing up, the women in my life, they didn't admit to being wrong. It was very much the other person or very unapologetic. And so there was a sense that, hey, when you're strong, you don't admit you're wrong. But now that I'm an adult, I disagree with that. I think that people who can admit that they're wrong, that they can say, I made a mistake, I was wrong about that, who are willing to shift their perspective when new information presents itself, people who are interested in growth, I see that as a strength. I see that as strong. How about you, Erin? How's it been for you?
I love everything you said about how you now view strength and how you juxtapose that with how you might have viewed strength in your past. And that just made me, all I could think of is that adaptability of the bamboo too. As you talked about, shifting views as you gain new information and new insights and being flexible enough to be vulnerable and say you're wrong or those sorts of things. I think that is something that at the societal level could be valued a bit more when it comes to the, or a lot more when it comes to the term strength. We never hear that really from politicians or from leaders, that we just don't hear that level of vulnerability and that level of strength, that to me makes someone, as you talked about, human and being able to share that, more fully. And, growing up on a farm, strength for me was very much characterized with work and work. And also make sure that you're always kind of anticipating the next challenge so that you can be ready for it. So there's like this level of readiness with this strength. And that was really hard because for me, that fostered a little bit of anxiety in my own life in terms of like always feeling like I had to know what's next and like never get to really live in the moment or live in the present. And so just like you, shifting my views of strength and what strength really is everything you talked about. I agree with that. And I think one other piece is having really difficult, challenging conversations and being open to the viewpoints within those. I think that requires a lot of emotional strength and a lot of self-awareness, which I view as a strength as well. So that's how I've evolved my understanding, and I have like this kind of visceral reaction to the word because I feel like this idea that strength is something that only certain people can have, or only certain people with certain income have, because they really have the fortitude to happen. And I struggle with that a lot too, how we equate strength to, financial wellness and other things in life as well. So I would like to maybe about other ways to think about strength and other words maybe use in place of strength. Kindness is a strength. When is weakness a strength? Like, and is fragility a strength in those types of things as well? So maybe that's where I'm headed now. And then the other thing, real quickly, is I think when we think about strength, we want to think about like what it is, right? Why it's valued in that way, and then like how is it exhibited, right? And I think that how piece goes to the kindness piece that I was just kind of talking about in terms of how we might equate strength with kindness. LaShawn, what about you? Where are you at in this conversation?
I like what you said about weakness being strength or fragility being strength, because to me, those seem mutually exclusive. But I can see where those could be strengths in certain contexts. For example, if you look in the natural world and something plays dead, for example, in order to protect itself, that's a strength. I like the idea of kind of playing with the notion, which means that when we're looking at it figuratively, when we're looking like emotional strength, because, well, even, I mean, if you think it like jiu-jitsu is all about using your opponent's strength against them, that's a strength in itself. That's how smaller fighters could fight bigger fighters, because they're skilled and they know how to pivot and use their opponent's strength against them. So, a relatively small fighter could take on a really big hulking fighter and win. It's like David and Goliath too, because that's like the brute strength and mental strength, that kind of the differences there. So I really like the idea of playing with the notion of strength. I like the idea of coming up with a common definition, introducing other ways that strength can be valued or how strength can be valued in society, what that looks like, how it shows up, and even just seeing where we can expand the definition or revise the definition as well. So a lot of things going on there with strength. I also liked what you said about it seems that only certain people can be strong, or strength is a trait that is related to wealth or privilege, which to me, actually, I think the opposite. I think if you're wealthy or privileged or any of those things, then it's not, it's like Superman, okay? Superman is bulletproof. Superman is like so strong. So is he really in danger? Is he really putting himself at risk if he can like fly around the earth and change the time and all this stuff that he can do? It's like, but then you look at Batman, who uses his ingenuity and his tools. He's just an ordinary human being, but he uses his ingenuity and his tools and his wealth to do the things that Superman just comes naturally doing because he's an alien and he's not human, right? So that's something that I also think about with strength as well. I don't really think that we can we say, yeah, we could say that Superman is strong because objectively he is strong. However, that kind of, so he's subjectively he is strong. And so maybe I'm not really thinking about strength. Maybe I'm thinking about heroism or being heroic. What makes a hero? So that does kind of veer away from strength, but I think that strength is a trait of a hero or a trait of an extraordinary human being or extraordinary person. And I liked what you said about it being like a trait that only certain people have. And I think that that is something that we should correct. Anyone can be strong, and also strength can be developed. I mean, strength training, you can build your muscles. Mental fitness training, you can build your mental muscles, that can be changed. And as we grow, our strength is going to change as well, our level of strength. We can go from mentally tough when we're young, like maybe we're braver or we're okay with being vulnerable. And then something happens that changes that. And we then become mentally weaker. So strength is dynamic, it's changing. Going back to the bamboo, the flexibility, the adaptability. So those are some things that have come up for me in what you had said about, strength being attributed to only certain people. But I want to ask you, Erin, about the wealth thing, because that's really interesting to me. Where do you see, like, is there an example that you have where people equate wealth with strength?
I think just everywhere. I mean, just the more, so like if strength hat is, in that definition I started from, and it is access to resources or resources, well, some people might have a lot more access to financial resources, hence increasing their strength, just kind of in the context of that definition. But also I just see it just like everywhere. Everywhere around me, they'll be like, oh, that person's so strong. And one of the main qualities they have is that they have wealth, right? And so you see, just watching this on, that Painkillers show on Netflix about OxyContin and stuff, that kind of comes to mind more recently. You see this in politicians, and we see this in how we elect our officials too. And the access to resources in that way, and we mistakenly think that's strength. So I think that it's just part of the American culture that this sits with. And I think people are so quick to judge other people who may be not doing well or who maybe, aren't realizing their full potential wherever it may be. But it always takes me back to, teaching 101 and the quote we learn, in undergrad about like, you've never walked in somebody else's shoes, so how can you judge where they're at on their journey? And they may have way much more fortitude or more strength than you, and by our standards, you know, our societal standards, we wouldn't even know. We wouldn't know that. So strength to me is that awareness and knowing that about how about the world and being kind to, you know, everyone in that aspect. So I didn't come up with like a specific example. I don't know how helpful that was, but I was just curious, you know, so it sounds like you lean more towards Batman as a Batman fan. Is that right?
Kind of. I mean, they're superheroes that I am familiar with. And when it comes to like superheroes, I think of Superman being innately super and Batman being having come by that by developing his super abilities that are aided by his tools. And then, of course, there's also, I think, Doctor Strange, and there's some other superheroes who, through their ingenuity, are able to rise to that level of extraordinariness or super abilities.
Yeah.
So that's what I think about when I think about people who are born into wealth or people who have privilege. I see that as they're like Superman, that that's not something that they developed or that that was something that came about because of their circumstance. And to me, that's not something that I value as much as something that was developed and created by the person. So that's kind of what I meant by that. And I don't know if I'm a Superman fan or a Batman fan. I'm just using it as kind of as an example. How about you, Aaron? Which do you prefer? Or if any.
I mean, when I was younger, I really liked Batman, but it's been a while since I visited that. So, yeah, I don't know. This is a hard one too, because I sometimes being strong is not doing anything. You know, I don't know, and it's not always in motion. And I want to just maybe throw out the word strength and strong completely. I mean, and use other words. And I think as we've talked through this, it's grown my compassion in some way about, you know, other people's journeys and how strength shows up for them and how they may tap into that as a resource for them personally. And that might be through certain skills or, you know, sheer will or whatever it may be. And I do think your point you made much earlier on in the conversation about gender and strengths is also something we could, you know, examine more too, because we know that typical feminine strengths look different than typical male strengths. And if you go outside of that, within your own gender, then people view you as not strong when in fact you have to have a lot of strength and a lot of self-awareness to do that. And so I don't want, I think just in my own like moving forward, I'm gonna try. We'll see how this goes to avoid just that word. I don't know if I should avoid it, but just be more curious about it, I guess.
I like the idea of using more precise language because strong and strength is so vague. It's such a like a blanket term. So I think the precision of language that that calls for that I'm hearing from what you're saying, resilient. That person is so resilient, or that person is so clever, or that person is so influential. Rather than strong, using more precise language might sit better with you. And I do like the idea of using strength, strong or strength sparingly. I think that really does, for me, what was coming up for me when you were talking about just throwing the word out and not using it was, yeah, precision of language, because it made me think about what I was talking about. Because when I compared the oak to the bamboo, what was I comparing? Rigidity to flexibility. When I compared, you know, Superman to Batman, what am I really comparing? It's not strength. It's something else, like extraordinary ability or
Resourcefulness.
resourcefulness. Exactly, resourcefulness. Focus on precision of language. What do you really mean when you say be strong? Do you mean stoic for your loved ones? Do you mean be brave? What do you mean? I agree with you there. I think there is a call for precision of language. when we're using that term in many different forms. And I personally would like to apply that to my own conversations, what I say, how I say it, to be more precise when I'm describing someone. Instead of just saying, oh, she's really strong, I can say she's resilient. She, in the face of challenges, she's able to keep going and to grow from it and learn from it. So she's resilient instead of she's strong. What are some instances where one might use strength? Like, okay, let's say the debate. What characterizes any debate, not the debate, because we know the debate is in everybody's mind after the recent presidential debate. But what would be a better precise term for a strong debate? What do you think, Erin?
They had clarity of thought and were strongly grounded in facts and were able to articulate that in a way that relayed both critique and hope. That'd be kind of my just initial thinking of what I would think would be a strong debate.
So like one word that you've used that I really like, it's like a word that I like stole from you. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna use that. That's such a really good word, efficacious, because that is essentially a precise description of anything, right? That has some results or something, because when you debate, there's a purpose behind a debate. It's not just, let's have a conversation. There is a purpose behind a debate. So if you said that's an efficacious debate, then that's better than saying that's a strong debate. Of course, then we would have to kind of decide what are the criteria for an efficacious debate. But yeah, it's better than strong.
It is. And then I always, you hear that word more toward men anyway, right? Like it just more generally, and maybe this is just my biased lived experience, but then it creates this like, oh, only these certain, kind of going back to this idea that I said, only these certain people can be strong when, this their strength that is embodied in other ways and what that really looks like. And that precision of language, I think that term really sums up everything today, that we can have that precision of language. Like going into the Olympics, right? The shot put people are very physically strong. I would feel confident saying that. I don't know anything else though, right? Like, are they, what's so much stronger about them in other ways, than maybe somebody else? I don't know. And also, just on their own path, right, in their own journey, maybe they feel not so strong but are exuding this strength, right? And so it's just, a really complicated word. So I do love this idea of having the precision of language, and especially going into like the further debates, like why do people, I think, want strength? They want to use that word or want to see that word and however it presents to them. Because it creates insecurity, right? It kind of reduces the fear in some ways. Because if somebody's strong, they can protect me, right? Like they can be a bit of a protector. And unfortunately, that's just an illusion, right? So I think that comes up too, is just kind of how this the word is a symbol for these other words, like protection and that.
Well, I think we're towards the time of our podcast where we introduce a coaching nugget of wisdom, and my brain is blank. How about
I
you,
think
Erin?
I'll go back, I guess, to the beginning about grief and give a little bit of maybe a way around that word. So if you're recognizing that you feel someone is strong or needs to be strong in their grief experience, go back to those words that LaShawn said, have precision of language, try other words, don't use that word. And because number one, it'll help them better understand themselves too, right? If you can identify very specifically, like your creativity right now is amazing, right? Like that's a strength there or something, which is different than, just generally saying being strong. So that would be my nugget of wisdom here. LaShawn, what about you?
I'm gonna, while you were talking, I kind of got this idea for a nugget of wisdom, and that is where are you using the word strong or strength where you could use more precise terms? And maybe even start with yourself and see, where do I say I'm strong, or where do I tell myself to be strong? And what do I mean when I say that? And maybe that will bring some clarity and maybe even help you have a better idea of how you can embody what that is. What is strong? What does it mean to be strong? And what does it mean when you are strong? How are you showing up when you feel strong? And then you can maybe have some clarity on what traits or what thoughts are present in that moment. Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Meychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.